We have one case on the 230 docket. And that matter is United Parcel against ICAO.
Thanks.
Counsel, when you're ready, you may proceed. I would ask that everyone turn off pagers and cell phones so we're not bothered during the argument.
I think I've got it organized. Frank Cavanaugh, 20748 for the appellants. And I'd like to, at the outset, reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal, if possible. Your Honors, this particular case, the underlying workers' compensation case, the facts are really not in great dispute. The claimant, in this case, Mr. Vigil, suffered an injury, an actual injury at work in 2001. That case eventually closed through the operation of a final admission of liability. Claimant continued to work for UPS as he had for approximately 20 years in a capacity using upper extremity motions, but suffering no particular harm, problem, anything that would disable him from performing his job. He switched jobs approximately 5 months prior to the onset of disability in this case. What the ALJ found was the onset of disability. That job was lighter in upper extremity use, and ultimately the claimant on May 5th, 2007 suffered a toweling off incident after a shower about 2 hours after work and after a nap, at which point
when he switched jobs in February, I think it was February of 07, to the, what do you call the lighter work?
To the lighter work, yes.
That was at his request, right?
Correct, and I believe the original request was to move into a different capacity with the company.
And did he give a reason for that?
Your Honor, it was to move into a different capacity with the company. It was incidentally a lighter job in terms of physical exertion and upper extremity use.
He didn't indicate that it was because his shoulder hurt.
I do not believe that's in the record, Your Honor. It is purely that he wanted to switch positions with the company. Now, the job was lighter in physical activity. There's no question about that. So if there were an offending activity at work that he was performing with his upper extremities, he was actually removed from that offending activity, at least to some extent, for several months before the actual onset of disability. In this particular case, I'm using the phrase onset of disability because that is the appropriate phrasing for an occupational disease case. That's when a date of injury occurs in an occupational disease case, is when there's an onset of disability. Onset of disability is where an individual worker's job is affected, can no longer perform the physical parts of that job the way they used to, needing rest or removal from an offending activity or element. In this case, Mr. Vigil had no onset of disability while working for UPS. Instead, what Mr. Vigil had on May 5th was a toweling off incident, which was a specific injury, trauma, that occurred outside of work and had no connection to work. And that is where I believe there was an error by the administrative law judge in the initial onset in this case. The first threshold error by the administrative law judge is in characterizing this as an occupational disease rather than what I believe the facts show it to be, which is an injury.
But isn't there testimony from one physician that says you don't get this kind of injury from toweling off, that this type of injury is something that is an onset problem?
No, actually, Your Honor, the record is very clear. You get this injury from toweling off. This is the specific trauma that produced the claimant's injury. That fact is not disputed.
Didn't one of the
I'm recalling the same thing. Didn't one of the doctors, Dr., and I'll try to get his name correct.
It's a Dr. Holt Grew.
Holt Grew?
Holt Grew, I'm sorry.
Holt Grew. Didn't he say that he did not characterize this as a trauma?
I believe that might be where the confusion comes in. He did not characterize this as a trauma. That is correct. But he did not say that this particular activity in toweling off did not produce the injury. There's no question at all that the toweling off incident produced the injury. In this case, Dr. Holtgrew characterized this as an occupational disease, and the record reflects that I'm paraphrasing this, his shoulder, meaning Mr. Vigil's shoulder, was somewhat degenerated prior to the toweling off incident, and that was what Dr. Holtgrew attributed to the original work. In other words, his shoulder condition that he could attribute to work was a degenerated condition, not a specific tear due to a toweling off incident. And there is a difference here. In other words, the claimant, even if he had a degenerated shoulder due to work at UPS, it was asymptomatic relative to his work at UPS. There was no onset of disability. Mr. Vigil did not alter his job. He never missed time from work, never had to change what he was doing physically because of a degenerated shoulder condition, an occupational disease. The only time he had an actual onset of disability is after he had a toweling off incident away from work. And that Dr. Holtgrew characterized this as an occupational disease. We disagree with Dr. Holtgrew's characterization. Dr. Holtgrew felt that this was not a trauma because it didn't involve some specific, more violent scenario that produced any sort of onset of disability or injury. He compared it to, I believe, a sports injury or a car accident. In those two circumstances, Dr. Holtgrew would feel that would characterize as a trauma producing injury. In this case, there's no support for whether a trauma needs to occur secondary to a violent collision in any circumstance. A trauma can be a relatively minor exposure to an external force, which is exactly what happened here with a toweling off incident. Mr. Vigil was simply toweling off. That's an external force producing injury to the shoulder.
Is that precluded from being an occupational disease?
Yes. It's now a non-occupational injury. And that's, in this particular case, Your Honors, there's no connection between the disability from work and work. There's simply no connection. He's doing unwork-related activities that produce an onset of disability if you consider that the administrative law judge did not err in characterizing this as an occupational disease. In other words, the appellants here, the respondents of the underlying case, disagree that this was an occupational disease. Factually, the ALJ erred in that determination, but if we assume that the ALJ didn't err and that this was an occupational disease, there's no connection between the disability and work. I'm sorry, Your Honor, yes.
Well, Dr. Holtgrew testified that he didn't see any other cause for this injury other than work-related.
The obvious cause was a toweling off incident.
Well, no, if it was your own doctor testified that there was a degenerative condition in his shoulder, right?
Correct.
He looked at the MRI, he found a degenerative condition.
Correct.
And the case law is that an occupational disease that becomes acutely symptomatic doesn't transform it from a disease to an accidental injury, right?
Agreed. Okay. That's the Campbell case.
Right.
And
so this was a disease that may have become acutely symptomatic when he toweled off.
And
at least that's what the ALJ found.
Correct. Right. Here's the difference between Campbell and the analysis in Campbell in this case. In Campbell, it's a carpal tunnel condition that became acutely symptomatic due to work. In this case, any acute symptomatology occurred away from work and in a specific instance that involved an injury or an activity that he never does at work, a toweling off incident. That's what the record supports. Campbell, if somebody works 20 years doing upper extremity use and has symptoms, and then suddenly those symptoms become acutely symptomatic, such as in Campbell, what Campbell stands for is a proposition that under a carpal tunnel situation, which used to be characterized and specifically delineated as an occupational disease and is more often found as an occupational disease, doesn't morph into an injury because there is an acute symptomatology. That's what Campbell says. But Campbell involves acute symptoms becoming acute due to work, not due to a non-work-related scenario, such as we have here. There still has to be a connection between disability and work. Here there is no connection between disability and work, and that's if you assume that the ALJ did not err in characterizing this as an occupational disease. Does that explain the position, at least for appellates at this point? Or there's a distinct difference. Let me see if I can parallel, in particular using carpal tunnel syndrome, because it's a more common situation. If you have a symptomatic but not disabling carpal tunnel syndrome in an employee, in other words, not disabling from what they're doing at work, and that individual is involved in a car accident, a more violent collision, such as apparently Dr. Holtgruber would need to characterize something as a trauma, that can cause the carpal tunnel syndrome that pre-exists but doesn't disable that worker from doing the worker's job, and create a disability that is now due to a trauma. In other words, you would have a trauma producing disability, not the occupational disease. Because the trauma in the form of an intervening car accident is what disabled that worker.
So that person would not be covered, right?
Exactly. If assuming that this car accident occurs outside of work, I was okay. Taking that as a given.
And the worker works all day, 8 hours, and she's typing away. She gets in her car in the parking lot, she turns the steering wheel, all of a sudden her wrist starts to go crazy. You're saying that's not a work-related injury?
Correct. Absolutely. That is a correct assessment.
That is not a disease which results directly from the employment or the conditions under which the work was performed, which can be seen to have followed as a natural incident of the work and as a result of the exposure occasioned by the nature of the employment?
In your situation that you just presented, there's a little closer nexus to work because you're right after work, you are getting into a car, and you're doing a relatively minor activity with your upper extremity producing acute symptoms.
Mm-hmm. So Veal was toweling off the morning, I think he got home from work and he took
correct.
A shower.
And he doesn't towel off at work, and that particular physical activity produced an acute symptomatic change in his condition that he required emergency treatment. He felt an immediate onset of pain requiring emergency room treatment that was characterized as excruciating. We don't need a violent collision to call this an injury or a trauma, and definitionally, you don't need that. Just because Dr. Holtgruber felt more comfortable with it doesn't make it true.
Could your Dr. Miller point to some other cause for this shoulder injury besides a work-related disease?
Yes, the toweling off incident. That is exactly what caused the injury. That is what caused the disability. There's no question that incident, and as a matter of fact, there's no evidence at all that this individual would have not been able to continue working at UPS in unrestricted capacity had there not been a toweling off incident. That's the test for an occupational disease. Whether or not this person continuing to do whatever they're doing at work in a constant and offending way would have in some way been rendered disabled at some point, causing an onset of disability equivalent to a date of injury and a trauma producing these conditions. In this case, there's no evidence of that. He could have worked indefinitely had there not been a toweling off incident. There's no evidence at all he would have ever been disabled. Your Honors, I see I have 3 minutes left. I'd like to reserve that if I could.
All right, Mr. Kavanaugh.
John Spubber on behalf of the appellee, registration number 17977. Good afternoon, Judge Graham, Judge Hawthorne, and Judge Richmond. We are asking that this court affirm the ICAO's affirmation of the ALJ's opinion. With regard to two questions raised by the court, Judge Richmond, you asked if there was testimony from the claimant that he had switched jobs because the job he switched to was lighter. If you look to the record on appeal, page 165, lines 3 through 13, it's also cited at page 2 of my brief. It cites to where Mr. Vigil, the injured worker, who's the claimant, who's the appellee now, testified that he had changed assignments because his left shoulder was bothering him.
And he communicated that to the employer?
Yes. I believe the testimony, I mean, without going back and looking at it specifically, I do believe that there was testimony. But I know Vigil himself testified at hearing that he did it for that reason.
Okay.
Judge Hawthorne, you raised the question of whether a doctor's opinion that there was an occupational disease is in the record. It is. Judge Holtgrew testified, record on appeal, page 86. It's also found at page 173, lines 14 through 19, that it was cumulative trauma over the years that brought on this injury. In fact, I think the respondent's doctor, Dr. Miller, who is not board certified and is the designated hitter doctor for UPS, testified that the MRI reflected years of wear and tear. And in fact, he didn't even review the MRI film. When you go back and read the record, I asked him, and I was counsel of record, and so was Mr. Vigil, I mean, was Mr. Kavanaugh, sorry, Frank, at the trial level, and we also handed it to ICAO. But Dr. Miller never saw the MRI, he just saw the MRI report. But the MRI report, which he relied on, says wear and tear. So we have a progressive injury, and this is not a gentleman that's just worked at this job for a short period of time. Mr. Vigil had been at UPS for approximately, the record says 19 years, it goes from 19 to 20, but if we're, to be fair, at least 19.
Mr. Sparrow, if he'd been hurt on the job, there'd be no question. The question is raised because he has a trauma that exists outside the workplace.
I wish your statement was true. If he'd be on the hurt on the job, there'd be no question. I wouldn't have a practice, well, however. If he was hurt on the job, there'd be no question.
In this case.
It was an accidental injury. It was an injury. So there'd be no question in that regard, but they still may say, well, it wasn't related to work. It could have happened anywhere. I'm sure you've seen those cases. It's a pre-existing condition this gentleman has. So no, I can't accept that had this occurred at work, they still wouldn't fight it. This is classified, though, as an occupational disease. That's the way Judge Jones chose to view it, and that's the way the Industrial Claims Appeals Office chose to handle it, because the MRIs and the records reflect that there was wear and tear. And in addition to that, the claimant testified himself at hearing that he had problems with the left shoulder over time. So
he never told anybody that at
no, work. That is a correct statement, sir. He didn't tell me. I mean, he didn't tell anybody his supervisors, which is all that really matters for purposes of comp. That's true. That's true. So I mean, that is, you got to give them one fact. They do have that fact, but if you look at the MRI is really where I put the weight, and the fact that the respondent's doctor, who normally does not testify on behalf of the injured worker, said that the MRI reflects wear and tear. Unless there are any additional questions, I don't wish to waste the court's time. I appreciate your consideration of this matter.
Was there any evidence that your client could have continued work for UPS except for the fact that this trauma of the toweling off incident occurred?
There's only circumstantial evidence, because the claimant, as he stands here before you, still has not had the surgery and is back at UPS working. And in the record on appeal, it reflects that Dr. Miller returned the injured worker to work, I think it's like June 17th, and where he has worked ever since, still waiting for the surgeries. And the reason I say circumstantially is, I don't know if he should have gotten restrictions to begin with, but he went to a private doctor who put him on restrictions. Perhaps Dr. Miller would not have done those restrictions. So it's not really directly answering your question, Judge Hawthorne, but it's the best I can give you with the facts as they are in the record.
Thank you.
Again, we ask that the court affirm ICAO, which found there was substantial evidence to support Judge Jones's ruling that it was an occupational disease. We ask by inference that you affirm Judge Jones, who handles these matters on a daily basis, and found the testimony of Dr. Holtgrew more persuasive than that of Dr. Miller. I appreciate the time and consideration. Have a good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Sparrow. Mr. Kavanaugh, got about 3 minutes, sir.
All right. I don't care if there's any high tension.
Thanks, John.
I do. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I think it's up to them. Your Honors, I want to emphasize a few definitional thresholds here and identify some specific issues in occupational disease versus injury scenarios. In this particular case, in an occupational disease setting, an onset of disability happens when it impairs the claimant's ability to effectively and properly perform his or her regular employment or render the claimant incapable of returning to work except in restricted capacity. We don't have that here except for the toweling off incident. There's no evidence that if there was any degenerative changes in the claimant's shoulder identified in an MRI that predate the toweling off incident, that those degenerative changes were preventing the claimant from doing anything at work. Now, the date of onset of disability in an occupational disease is the date of injury. It's the same thing as a date of injury. If an actual car crash or some other trauma that even Dr. Holker would agree is a trauma occurred, the date of onset of disability is the date of injury in an occupational disease setting. In this case, there is no connection whatsoever, even if we assume that Judge Jones was right in concluding that this was an occupational disease. There's no connection between the disability and work, because it's undisputed that the toweling off incident produced the disability from work, and that had nothing to do with work. There was no nexus, no connection. This did not arise out of or occur within the course and scope of the claimant's employment, and that's important here. There's simply no connection. It is simply not sufficient to say that a degenerative change in a shoulder MRI is all that needs to be proven in an occupational disease setting. You have to also have a date of onset of disability that is related to work. Otherwise, the individual in a car crash with a otherwise non-disabling carpal tunnel condition and rendered disabled from a non-work-related car crash, that individual has no workers' compensation claim for an occupational disease. There's no onset of disability. With regard to the claimant testified, and this was the first reporting of this, that he switched jobs with UPS to go to a lighter capacity of work. And the job with UPS that he switched to is lighter. So in effect, he took himself away from what would arguably be an offending upper extremity use with UPS to go to a less offending job description. Regardless here, there's no disabling condition. He's working full-time at UPS away from an offending activity. And still, there is the toweling off incident. There's no evidence that this job switch or any further work at UPS would have otherwise disabled the claimant. Your Honors, I'm out of time. I'm sorry about that, unless you have other questions or whatever else you want me to do.
Thank you, Mr. Kavanaugh. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Scarborough. The matter is deemed submitted, and you can expect a written opinion to issue in due course. That completes our 2:30 docket for today, and the bailiff may announce a recess.
Yeah, there was a lot. Something came in. Hey, John, you just checked in my time. I know I'm a big.